My name is Judy Dlamini. It's an honor to be a host on Why She Leads podcast by Standard Bank CIB. In this series, Standard Bank CIB shines the light on powerhouse deal makers who happen to be women. And with me, I have Marilyn Maki, who's the head of energy and infrastructure finance. Welcome, Marilyn Maki.
Thank you, Judy.
Coming from the Eastern Cape, is this what they expected you to be, the powerhouse that you are today?
One has to say no, because the time that we come from, the era that we are born of, simply did not expect that a woman, a black woman from the Eastern Cape, had this as a trajectory. So I grew up in a world, though, which was extremely matriarchal. My mother and her sisters were the powerhouse of our family. Mm. And as such, girls were also empowered in our family. So when it was discovered that, in fact, I was quite bright and intelligent, that was not something that was, you know, sort of honed into, well, she'll make a great wife and, you know, at least she has her looks. My parents were very clear that education was absolutely essential to underpin what my, you know, my trajectory was looking like at the time. So I've always been someone who's been encouraged in my family to do better.
Mm. Oh, that's great. Why financial services?
Completely by accident.
Oh.
So I was very much of an arts and creative type of student. In fact, it was believed that I was going to go on to be an actress in Hollywood, was the idea. But my mother, again, very clear on the fact that for the amount of money that she had paid, I was either going to be an astronaut or a veterinarian, one of the two. And so I ended up actually pursuing law as my undergraduate and graduate training. And then I had no idea that in banking, actually, there was anything called investment banking. Banking was always the teller, the lady who helped you to get your money. And so you didn't know that there was a career in this. And so when Standard Bank found me some 26 years ago, by the way, for the graduate program, and they were telling me all these amazing things that you could do, even though you had a legal background, I was amazed and totally folded into the space. And therefore, here we are.
Yeah, it's a beautiful story. Tell us about your journey at the bank, Standard Bank.
So I am a child of Standard Bank. I arrived here, as I said, on a graduate program and have never left since. Standard Bank has been my university, has been my adventure in life, and I have managed to do so much in this organization that one would think I'd had four jobs in four different organizations. I've seen the entire African continent, something one never dreamt they would growing up. I have lived in the United Kingdom, all under the auspices of my career growth in the organization. And it's been such a privilege to work in a space where you are actually allowed to explore many of the things that you wouldn't get to do, I think, if you moved into a new organization. So being a child of the Big Blue, I think for me has stood me in really good stead, and a fantastic journey of different kinds of jobs. I have done strategic work in the CEO's office for a period. I have, as I say, been in London doing oil and gas. I have spent time on the continent currently, which is what I do, looking after various business units across on a Pan-African basis. So my journey here has been a full one, one that I wouldn't change for anything.
Yeah. You mentioned you went to the UK. What brought you back to South Africa? I mean, you could have stayed in the UK.
I cannot express my love for this country in enough words, I think. So yes, do I miss London? I do. I miss the efficiency. I love that trains will run till whatever time you need. I love that I can come home from work at 9, remember I don't have milk, and walk downstairs somewhere in a safe environment to pick up, some milk or a bottle of wine. But you can't take away what we have here. You can't take away what we have as the weather. You can't take away what we have as the people. You can't take away what we have to fight for, actually. Yeah. And so honestly, when it comes time to vote, I know why I vote, because we have so much to fight for. So it was not a conversation or a question about returning home.
Mm. Now, challenges along the way, surely there were challenges.
Challenges along the way, I think. think are a number of things, I think. But the one I would kind of go back to is success at an early age. I think women have to, or young women or young professionals have to know how to manage that. I think when it comes at you so fast, sometimes you are actually distracted by the success of it all, that the excellence of it may be lost. So for me, that was a big thing, was to say, gosh, and the reason I say this, I was an executive at Standard Bank at the age of 29,
which was
extremely early. Yeah. And I think it was a lot to come to bear, you know, to understand who you were in this process and what that means. And so, yes, that I think is a challenge. Own your greatness as soon as you can, because then it will take your trajectory a lot further. And then I think also trying to juggle the world of the career versus what you are becoming as a woman. You know, there's so much being thrown at you all at once. It's your career. It's your choice of partners. It's your moving into a new home, having children. It's a lot, especially if you are a little bit of a perfectionist, because you're trying to do it all so well.
Yeah. And you actually, are you the type of person that doesn't go and ask for help when you need it, because you have to do it all?
All myself. Yes. A lesson I've learned, I think, to be a lot kinder to myself, a lot better at asking for help. I tend to be the shoulders for everybody else. And so that's been my kind of, I think, burden on myself, when I actually discovered that you can ask other people for help and absolutely available. People are wanting to help you.
How do you unwind then?
Love to spend time with family. So very close with my family. As I said, we're a gaggle of girls, predominantly very matriarchal. My sister, my aunts. And then also time with friends, very close friends. I have a small, group of friends based all over the world, but, lots of time spent, whether it's on the phone, video conference and so on. And then I love to be active. I swim every day, and I am now a new golfer
in
my old age. And also, I play tennis once a week with a group of friends. So different groups, but lots of activity. Yes.
But that's also healthy for your mind, for your body, your soul.
Huge difference.
Yeah, yeah.
Huge difference.
I have to take you back. If you were to tell a 12-year-old, they'll ask you at 29, you were an executive, tell me the three things that put you there.
So I think it has to do with people identifying you. So being seen is a very important thing. And I'll tell you why I say that, is because it actually is, for me, what underpins, I guess, the human journey. Mm. We're all here to be seen and to have people be a witness to our lives. And when people see you, then somehow they find you, they curate you, they will kind of have this interest in you that says, how do we get more out of this individual? And I think that was one of the things that I think I had. I was very bubbly.
Yeah.
and I was extremely...
It can be in the past tense. You are bubbly.
Yes, I remain so. In fact, I think my family used to, behind my back, call me, I had a nickname called Vivacious.
Oh.
And so that kind of really helped me, I think, and very gregarious. So I loved meeting people. And I think that was an important piece, because you will be seen if you're engaging the world. Mm. And then I think the second one would have been finding the ability to get out of your own way. You know, so again, if you think about our history, if I'm as a child growing up in the 80s, you're being told that you're Black, you're being told that you're a woman. But you're actually are saying, that will not be in my way. And so the you that is being identified, you have to get it out of your own way. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And see yourself as equal to everyone else.
Correct.
Yeah.
Correct.
What would your son say about you as a mom?
Ooh. We get along as friends now that he is much older. He's 26. And the one thing he does know is that, one, he is supported no matter what is happening. And that's a comfort that I think children should really be able to hold on to for as long as they can, because the world is quite tough. But also knows that there's a full stop, right? So he knows when I'm using his full name and I'm saying Khanya Maki, he knows that now it's actually no longer about anything he can get away with. I'm onto him. So But I think he, you know, recently I celebrated, as I was telling you that I am old, my 50th birthday.
Oh, wow, that's amazing. Yes, you carried well.
Last year,
I wouldn't
yes.
have thought.
Thank you. Yeah. And he spoke at my birthday and he, you know, beautiful descriptions. And to have, I guess, other people speak of you and hear what you've kind of achieved and been able to be in. And he used the words were used to describe me, which was the Rock of Gibraltar.
Oh, which I thought was beautiful. Yeah, that's beautiful. What is it that people don't know about you?
Mm-hmm. People don't know about me that, in fact, I am an introvert.
What?
Yes. I am an introvert. And let me describe it. I mean, in the not necessarily going into the psychological description of introvert, but I really actually comfortably gain energy from myself. Mm. And I love people. I'm gregarious. And as I say, but I am one of these individuals who can spend weeks by myself and go away on a holiday by myself to read, to kind of re-energize, and then bring bubbly Marilyn back for the year. Yeah. So a lot of people always say, and in fact, funny enough, that's exactly what my son and I were engaging about while we were on holiday recently. And he was saying, but Mom, you seem like you're always ready to engage with people. I said, it takes a lot of work, actually.
Yeah.
And I breathe into it, actually. It's not something that just kind of I do as a natural piece. But it does surprise a lot of people that I see myself as an introvert.
Well, I got surprised myself. What are you most proud of?
So I get asked this question actually quite often, and I think people then correlate that with an achievement and what have you achieved that you can retrospectively look at. And I tend to try to look at it a little bit differently in that I think my greatest achievement is myself in 10 years' time. And then in 10 years, my greatest achievement will be myself in a further 10 years' time. So to just chase yourself, you know, because otherwise, if you are always looking back, you then tend to be tempted to mark that moment and then allow yourself to relax because, well, you know, could I ever better that? I really did so well. That was amazing. I think for me, it's about chasing yourself.
I love that. I love that because you where you are now, but what more? What more can you achieve? And where do you see yourself in 10 years?
Well, I refer to it colloquially as my afterlife. So when I'm no longer at Standard Bank, as you know, I'm born and bred, grew up here, came in on a graduate program, as I said, that my whole trajectory and career has been here. So I know that what I am leaning towards as I do some of the things that are passionate for me in the bank, like mentorship for young women and upcoming professionals, that I'm absolutely certain that I will be seeking to look at the education of the girl child.
We have a message from one of your mentees.
Hi, Marilyn. I hope you're well and enjoying this special time. It is Moya Howell that's speaking. So yeah, when I joined the bank around 2 years ago, I was just very overwhelmed, you know, just by the sheer size of the organization. And I felt like I could just very easily get lost in the crowd. Your decision to mentor me just gave me the sense of belonging that I needed and the boldness and courage to just show up as myself. So I just want to take this time to just thank you for all of the time that you've invested in me and to just let you know how much I appreciate your invaluable contribution in my life. Thank you for pouring into me as much as you have. It is really much, much appreciated. Thank you.
Wow. That's
so
beautiful.
Sweet.
Thank you. I feel like clapping.
Yes.
Yeah. Who was that for you?
We began going to private schools in the 80s when it was just the transition when people of color were being permitted into integrated schools. And the first school I went to, which was a primary school, at the end of the first quarter, my mother came for what was the parent-teacher discussion. And it was a convent school. And a nun called Sister Agnes, she was German, I remember her very well. And she said to my mother, your daughter's doing extremely well. She's very bright, so nothing to worry about. One observation, though, is that in the playground, she's a bully.
Oh.
So my mother was horrified to say, great, now we've got this, you know, issue and a problem. And then a sister said, no, but that's not an issue at all. So then my mother said, how on earth can that not be an issue? She said, because we're going to harness that into leadership.
Wow.
And that's literally kind of how I think a lot of what I kind of became was. And I wish schools understood that, that bullies are just leaders in hiding. And how do we try and make this epidemic or pandemic of bullying in schools actually become something that can actually be quite positive?
Exactly.
So that was her. And I think I remember her so starkly. She was focused on me to say, you know, you're going to become what we think you can become. And that kind of, I look back on that with fondness. And then another was the deputy headmistress at St. Mary's, a lady called Jean Ratcliffe. And we called her the Rat. And she was a very strict woman who spoke in a monotone. If you know the lady in The Devil Wears Prada,
yes.
Something quite similar where, you know, whether you were running in the passage or whether you actually had done something that warranted detention, her monotone was the same. This is not the conduct becoming of the ladies we're trying to cultivate. I can hear her as we speak. And I had the privilege of going back to St. Mary's actually on our 30th anniversary last year as the keynote speaker. And she was there and she arrived and she said, I hear you've been saying things about me, calling me the Rat. I said, yes. And it was beautiful because I remember her so well as being such a part of my life. And when she then said to me at that luncheon, you know, you were my greatest achievement. Yeah, there it is.
Yeah, it doesn't get better than that. Wow.
Yeah.
That's a lesson for parents and teachers. Mm-hmm. And 50, by the way, is the new 30.
It feels that way for me. So far, embracing it.
Yeah.
I run a really special mentorship program called HIM, which stands for the High Impact Mentorship within our energy and infrastructure cohort. And we pick high potential women who we think have got, you know, trajectory to become executives and be leaders in our business. And we have currently got 5 women on the program, which I mentor personally and very passionate about it. Yeah. I'm a big believer in the fact that we have to send the elevator down, something that hasn't been done in the past and that women have just got to learn to own. And I often speak of this idea that when women get to the top, it feels as if the men kind of bring them in and then they whisper to them to say, you know, there's not many of us here and, you know, you're very privileged to be here, so don't tell the others. How do we change that? Because we should be absolutely get to the top and then that elevator's got to go down and pick somebody else up. And so mentorship has always been about that because I was definitely fortunate enough to have been picked up. So why would we not pay that forward? So how did it start? Literally, because I live in a world where my boss and I get along very well. I wanted to do it. I told him I wanted to do it and he said, do it. And so it's been running for some years and successfully so. We have such a good time with the ladies. I always talk of our signature moment is when I managed to get us into a dinner with Oprah Winfrey last year.
Oh, wow. That's amazing.
In the flesh for the evening. Yeah. And it was fantastic. This year, we will actually host the deputy governor here at the bank for an evening with you know, insights from her on monetary policy and so on. So we're doing meaningful things. Yeah. You know, it's not mentorship in the ordinary course. It's really, really meaningful stuff that I think changes the young women's perspective on what they should expect of themselves.
And is there a winning phase? Are they your mentors the whole time? Do you bring others in?
We do bring others in. So actually, it's come to the point where now the human resources team have said to me, look, there's only one of you and this thing is working so well. How do we try to create something that actually becomes a platform? So 100%, because we want to take on at least 15 to 20 women at a time. And so how do we then make that bigger? And that's actually what's so successful about it is the fact that it's actually attracted enough attention that I'm receiving, you know, the offer of assistance from our various stakeholders in the building.
That's amazing. Well done. It's been a true honor to have the chat with you. I'm inspired and I can't wait to see what the next 10 years brings with your leadership, the powerhouse that you are.
Thank you,
Marilyn.
And I thank you so much for your time and getting to meet you. I've known of you for so long. So to meet you in the flesh is just a privilege. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you so much.